Yes, my people, welcome back to another episode of Inside AFTV. Now, I've got a friend with me, also a work colleague, but a friend. I hope he says the same, he might not. But I've got him with me today. I've got Mr. Isaac Guy in Turkish in the building. What, man,
you good? He's saying, yeah.
man's blessed. How you feel? Look, why are you sitting so, you're sitting very sat up straight. You don't want to chill, you know?
Yeah, my posture's up. Yeah, I mean, I make sure if there any kids watching, they know how to make sure they sit up straight, right. Spine all, you know.
Yeah, all in alignment.
As it goes anyway, you might see me slowly lean.
Lean and get cotch and chill. I want to say as well, we're both in black, like we're going to a funeral, for goodness sake.
More often than not, I'm in black.
Yeah, but you know, I want to get into all of that anyway, and dress sense and style and where it all came from in your eyes as well. But let's just start with actually, how is it going? Like, how are you, bro?
And
like,
said, how is it going?
You see, I did it there.
It's always people.
I'm asking you, how's it going, Turks? What's what you saying?
You know what? To be honest, this show is something different, and I like it because when you ask me how's it going, you're not asking about Arsenal. Nah. Even though right now, yeah, this is before Brighton. I need to let them know this is before Brighton. Right now, all is going well.
Everything blessed.
So even with Arsenal, all is good. But generally, when people see me on AFTV, they tend to think, you know, I'm like that in real life. And by like that, I mean negative or pessimistic or whatever it is. But in reality, my life's great. I'm happy with most aspects in my life.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, how's it going? It's going great at the moment.
Going good. Oh, see, that's a nice start, man. Because like you said, people don't... They don't really know us. That they see us on camera, they see us for an hour max on camera a day, maybe. They don't really understand that, you know, we are normal people. We're not just like, you're sleeping and saying, conk out, like at 3 a.m. and getting and just walking around your house vexed. Like, no, we're good. Like, so obviously the club can be stressful. We're not going to talk about the club today because that's not what this place is about. It's about getting to know you and everyone inside AFTV. And
I see Troops' episode as well, when he said something about, you know, waking up saying, Arteta, that. But when people see you on AFTV, they tend to think that's your life.
Mm.
It's not. That's our opinions on the football club we love.
Right.
Once the cameras go off, yes, you talk about football in general anyway. That's part of life. Football's a big part of my life.
Yep.
But, you know, you move on. You have other aspects that, you know, you hold on to in life.
Yeah.
Not all your happiness needs to come from Arsenal Football Club.
Oh, fact. Well, if it did, then...
It'd be mad. It'd be very mad.
All right, Turks, let me know, because obviously I know you're Turkish and you have Irish in you as well. Where were you? Were you born here in the UK?
Yeah, I was born here.
Yeah?
I was born here.
So there's UK as well in there as well then. So you got Irish, Turkish.
Yeah, well, there's UK in there by birth, yeah. But my heritage is Turkish, Cypriot and Irish.
Okay.
So this is the first time I'll delve into this.
Yeah, let's go into this.
Because a lot of people ask me. So this is the situation with where I'm from. Okay. So for 17 years of my life, my makeup was half Turkish from mainland, quarter Turkish Cypriot and quarter Irish.
Okay,
until that changed at 17 years of age, when I found out something about my dad, biological father, all of that.
Oh, Ross.
And then it happened to be that I'm actually three quarters Turkish Cypriot and a quarter Irish, which in my opinion, there's not much difference. Turkish Cypriot is very closely linked.
Yeah.
And I've got my family in Turkey. Mm. You see, growing up with my dad, who turned out not to be my biological father.
What age did you find out?
17. So it sounds worse than I took it, let me say, because anytime I do talk about it with people, it's like, they're like, rah.
Yep. It's up.
To me, it's like, we move. I was angry. I was sad. I was frustrated. I was curious. I was all of these things all
emotions.
At once.
Yeah.
But the main thing is I had a father figure. Like, you know, biological is just a word.
Cool.
So straight away, that's what clicked with me.
Mm.
And when I could see the reaction that the father that raised me had off the back of me finding out and the way I found that, he was distraught. And the dad that raised my dad, I keep on saying my dad that raised me just to differentiate, but that's my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a man's man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a bodybuilder. He's a black belt karate. He's, you know, he's gone Hong Kong to fight and tournaments and all this. So for me to see him break down in a sense, it was like.
Yeah. Do you have a close relationship still with him?
The funny thing is no. And that probably hurts me more than finding out about my real father and whatnot.
Yeah.
But me and my dad now, we're not on speaking terms. But it is what it is, you know. Like, I've made mistakes, he's made mistakes. But essentially, what I found out at 17 years of age, what I've come out from that is the respect levels for him went up tenfold.
Yeah.
Because to raise someone else's child is not an easy thing to do.
That's mad,
and
bro.
To raise them with the child not knowing at all, not having a hint of it all, I have to give him credit for that.
Are you allowed to say how it came out, or would you rather not? I don't know if you, like, how you
found
out.
It's a messy one. Right, it's a messy one. It's not even like I could talk about it one day with you and whatnot, we'll but it's just, it's so technical the way I found out. I found out on Father's Day at 17 years of age as well.
Yeah, do you know what?
That's all mad. That's a bit mad. You know what I'm saying? It's all mad.
Whoa, okay, let's we'll move on from that. But fair enough.
You didn't expect that one to come up, innit?
No, I didn't know. I
haven't talked about it with no one here. Like, it's just one of those things.
That's deep though, bro. And you started with saying we move, bruv. Like,
you gotta move, innit? It's life. Like, it's life.
Shit.
Life can throw these kind of things at you. You just gotta
keep it going.
Keep focused, keep strong, keep it going, and more so look at the positives. Like I said, off the back of that, my respect levels and everything else for the dad that raised me went up. He wasn't a father that took me football. He wasn't a father that took me training and all. My mum did that.
Yeah. Oh, swear.
Because he was a karate man. He'd take me karate. He'd try to push me into that sort of sport.
Yeah.
But I never, you know, I'd done it for a few years. I liked it, but football was my passion, even basketball at times. So we didn't have that connection growing up. It wasn't like a father-son relationship, going to football games, going to here, there, everywhere. But when I found that out, it was like, none of that matters. Just, the fact that you raised me, and you raised me, you know, in the way you did.
Yeah.
Taking me football doesn't matter. Them little things don't matter. So I came out of that with major positives.
And more of a man that you've become now. You've probably learned a lot from
that. Yeah, it helps you mature early, innit? Yeah, and then when I was in uni, I found out that I was very mature at a young age. And I look back at that moment and I think maybe it was that. You know, maybe that had a part to play in it.
Yeah.
So,
shit.
Here we are. We move. I said we move.
I did not say
that. What's that? 16 years later, I'm here.
We're moving well. We're moving very well. Boy, that was a shock. I did not see that come start up like this.
That's the first question. It went off.
I'm going to ask you off the back of that, obviously, about all your story about your father. Do you have siblings as well when you was growing up? Or
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. Right.
Yeah, so I've got a little sister.
Yeah. I've said too much.
Very close to her. Close to her. Growing up, like, we're 9 years apart, but growing up, obviously the age gap is big. But still, you know, in that era, WWF was a big thing. You'd try out the wrestling moves on her, and one of the Rock Bottoms, the Pedigrees, the Stone Cold Stunners, all of that. So we had that close bond growing up and whatnot. And we still are close.
Yeah, is she local? Does she live?
We see each other regularly.
Catch up and that. Oh, nice. Fair. You say 9 years?
Yeah, 9 years apart.
9 years apart.
And then when I found the thing out about my dad at 17, I find that I've got another sister. Because obviously,
this was a mess, so many things
come out of it. It's crazy, isn't it? And obviously, the other sister, she had nothing to do with anything. So I've been in contact with her. We've spoken, messaging, but nothing more. She's in Cyprus at the moment. So it's, you know. So she's there as well. So obviously, when you ask, do I have siblings? I have two, but one that I'm very close to, I grew up with,
and the other,
and I feel is my sister, whereas the other is my sister biologically, but we don't know each other.
Do you visit those places often, like this, Cyprus or Cyprus and Turkey?
Cyprus more so.
I love Cyprus, Limassol, all them places. Naples,
I knew you were gonna say that, but you see, there's a big difference, the Greek side and the Turkish side. Difference. I found this out when I was, because I used to go Cyprus every other year with Turkey combined. And the first time I drove from the north side of Cyprus to the south side of Cyprus, you see a difference. You're going from gravel, you're going from no pavements, rocks, stray dogs, you're going from...
What side is this one?
My side. Turkish side.
Yeah, fair. Because I was going to say, when I go...
And then you drive into the Greek side and it's like palm trees down the middle of the road.
I was like, Limassol's buff.
Tarmac. When I say tarmac's a big thing, because you're like, well, you go from gravel to tarmac, it's mad.
Yeah.
I just thought to myself, rah. And I'm young at this point, so I don't really understand the politics or like why it's like this. I just see a difference. It's mad. But Cyprus is a beautiful country, man. You know, overall, people know the south side a lot more because it's easier to go there. There's no direct flights to North Cyprus.
Right.
It's only recognized by Turkey. There's no North Cyprus flag on the emoji.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really know. What's the name of a place in North Cyprus? Just a name
of it? But in the Greek language, it'll be Kyrenia.
Okay, yes.
So you might have heard of that, you might not have, but...
But mad, yeah, this is complete, yeah. Oh, boy, you educated me today. I was talking about education.
It's eye-opener as well. Those things help you mature as well.
Yeah.
Seeing getting them kind of things at a young age, you start asking why and what, and you research it slowly but surely.
Yeah, because you just said there, gravel and tarmac, like, to most people, they were like, bro, what are you talking about? That's not...
It's mad. There's people difference. Out there that's going to know what I'm talking about. Maybe not in the direct correlation of you're going from one to the other, but maybe when you look, a lot of people look back home and see maybe their country is not as developed as maybe here is.
Yeah, yeah.
including Cyprus, you see a clear difference.
Big difference.
And when you're young, you know, you're going from one to the other through a checkpoint, and it completely changes the dynamic of the.
That's mad. That's mad.
Then you research it, you see the European politics and money and so on, and then. You build, you learn, you move.
That's life. This is going to might have to be the title. And say, we have a theme normally for these podcasts. And today's one was the come up and getting to know you. Obviously, we're probably going to have a lot of these Turkish, if I'm honest, getting to know people, because that's what it's about. And their come up as well. Let's go to the beginning of kind of your story as well. Like, where did you go to school? Like, what was your education like?
School?
I don't want to go too young.
Yeah, because you don't need primary.
Those days.
We got North Haringey. If people know, they know. That's my primary school. But I went to Highgate Wood Secondary School in Hornsey.
Okay. What was it like there? Was there mixed cultures there? Was it?
100%. It was mixed cultures.
Yeah.
It was mixed cultures. But you know what? You know what's funny? Yeah. When I was growing up,
What was it like around these times?
When I was growing up, it was very much white and black.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It's very different to now.
So. Like, it's very different to now, where there's a lot more to just white and black. It's not just white and black,
right?
You know, within those
you got Africans, labels, there was Somalians,
there's so
now.
Many different cultures that you cannot just label everything in one.
Yeah,
but back then that's just the norm.
That's what it was.
You know what I mean? So in terms of multicultural, yes, there was a lot of, you know, ethnic minorities in my school. So that, when I look back, I'm grateful for that. I am grateful, and the school in itself was actually quite a good school, when I put that in quote marks, because when I was going into it, my mum and my dad was happy for me to go. It wasn't one of those that let's not apply for that.
Because I when I was obviously I didn't grow up in London, but I remember being at football and being like, oh, when I went to my school, they had metal detectors. Like, your school didn't have any of that stuff?
No.
Okay, cool. Because I was saying, there's some stories I hear about inner city schools, and I'm like, boy.
I'd say that's more probably 5 years after my time,
right?
Because my time, if there was ever any problems, it was fist fights.
Straighteners.
Yeah.
Yeah, one on one.
And if you lost, you go again. You link up again, you go again.
Yeah.
You so lose again, school it's teams, over. Like... You beat him, maybe you go again for a third time. See how it is in boxing. Yeah, you get one apiece, you go again. But, you know, the knife issue, crime issue and all, I think that came in. I remember I was in sixth form. I didn't go to college. I went to Highgate. It was sixth form, and there was a stabbing. Was it year 9 or year 10?
Bro.
And that to me was one of my first
encounters
with that. Yeah. Even though I grew up in Wood Green, when very much crime was a big thing.
Trust me.
That was so close to home in a sense. I was in this school a few years younger than me, and this is what's happening now. And then when you look at what's happened over the last 15, 16 years, it's grown and grown and grown.
Worse, so. Yeah. What were you studying around these times? When you went sixth form, what was you thinking life was going to be like? Like, where were you thinking, bro? Because I don't know if you envisioned being here, but what did you study? What did you look at doing? Obviously, you went to uni. We'll get to that after this.
But... I was big on design growing up. So, and in my GCSEs, the only A, I got an A star, but the only A I got and the highest mark by far was graphic products. Right. So that was a given for me to go into that in sixth form. So I went into, I forgot the name of it, but it was a graphic products course in my sixth form. Imagine I was the only one that picked that.
So
I was in the lessons on my ones.
Nah,
bro. I was in the lesson on my ones, and then
what you and the teacher just do?
Me and the teacher, and it's not like I got along with him. Like he was one of those annoying ones. Like, come on, like, what's going on? But with design, it's a creative thing. Just tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it.
Even
in my own time, I'll do it. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I can imagine him being on you though, because if you think about it, bro, imagine you're running a course and you got one person. If you get 100% and you smash it, listen, I got 100%. I got my student got 100%. It looks good for him.
Yeah, it looks good for him. Yeah, but so he's probably on you. Halfway through, this guy, he used to ride a Harley Davidson. He had a crash, motorbike accident.
Yeah, yeah.
He got injured. It wasn't a major injury, but he was out for a while, and that was my course done. I essentially failed the course because there was no one to cover.
Well, they locked it off.
They locked it off because they said it's not worthwhile. Like, it's you. There's no one else to cover it. Like, essentially, they're saying, "What can we do?" And I'm just there, like, well, it's kind of a year.
It's your education.
I did
bro.
Do business next to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it still held me back as well. But it is what it is. In the end, I just completed sixth form business studies, double award, and
That's interesting. I want to obviously on that as well. I know I've spoke to you before about your graphics, and I know that's kind of led you into meeting some very popular people, and you built a bit of a reputation off the back of your graphics. Now, I want you to kind of speak on that as well, because when I said, I listened to Chipmunk and that, and he's like, oh yeah, I used to do stuff for him. I was like, what? Like, you said it so casually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, bro, like, I'm a big fan. And you're like, yeah, I know him. I know that's I grew up in that. Obviously, for people outside of London, that's not normal. But I know it's kind of started with your graphics. So how'd that all come about?
You know,
not just
Chip,
but all the other people. I know there's loads of people you've worked with.
So my generation was kind of the crossover from this generation to the generation before phones and the computers and whatnot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I remember I got circumcised late. I think it was 8, 9 years. I can't remember the exact age, but it was late for Muslim culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And off the back of circumcision, usually in Turkish culture, you have a celebration. You know, they put me in the gown, people attach money, and it's all of that goes on.
Well, you're up, yeah.
That's what happened. But my mom and dad asked me, do you want to have the celebration or would you want a brand new computer?
Okay.
And I just said brand new computer. And these were the times when it was a tower, you know, the tower, bulk screen, mad.
Dial up internet and that, and you have to
dial up internet.
Can't be on the phone. all of that. Yeah, long time.
And it was probably the best thing I could have asked for, because from there, I just learned how to do things that helped me get by, both in school and then even after school between sixth form and uni and so on. I remember the first thing I was doing was like Napster. And I don't know if you know Napster, but Napster, BearShare. There was a
LimeWire. Oh, my days.
You know, and you're just...
I used to ruin my computer, but
download still things, and it'll take MSN 4 days to download an album. And it'll take... But because I was one of the only ones, especially in my school, that had a computer, I was kind of like up in a sense. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then I started buying blank CDs, and I started putting two and two together.
Oh, right. You were really involved in...
Yeah, because... Yeah, I don't know how it came about, but I just...
Yeah. Learn yourself, self-learning yourself.
Like, 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah. That's how I was seeing it. And I just, you know, made a mini business out of it, let's say.
That's mad.
And then from there, it grew, because from there, I got into Photoshop. I got into Illustrator.
Yeah.
I got into Adobe as a program, umbrella program, everything underneath it. And I just self-taught myself over the years, obviously, with my design, A-star in GCSEs turning into a failed course in sixth form because of the teacher and being unavailable.
Yeah.
It kind of quelled the fire in terms of education sense for me,
right.
But me learning off of the internet and learning how to do things. And bear in mind, YouTube wasn't around these times. So I was doing tutorials as in you're reading it.
Right.
So step by step, and I'm just learning things.
So you had a passion though, because you must have enjoyed it.
Till now, I'm very creative design-wise.
Yeah, you do a lot.
Like my own channel, thumbnails and everything. I get a lot of credit for that from a lot of my subscribers and viewers. And I take pride in that because it's me doing it. It's not like I'm outsourcing it to someone else. It's me actually doing that. And I care about how it looks.
Yeah.
And that's what a creative person's like. They need to care about what they're delivering. And then MySpace came about. And then coding. You could do MySpace layout. So I went from that design nature, like making CD covers. My first CD cover went into HMV. I remember when I was like, was it 15 years of age, 16 years of age? What was his name? Wasn't D Power. I forgot the guy's name. D Clark, I think.
Yeah.
But it came out in HMV. Like, I had my copy from him.
And you could see it. You could
I went
see
to the Wood Green HMV and it was there. And I was like, me and my brethrens were there. And I was just like,
well, I made this. Yeah, that's.
Do you get what I'm saying?
That's wave. Oh, that's cold.
It's
that
mad.
That's cold.
And then the MySpace coding stuff, I learned that. So I started designing MySpaces. My MySpace looked quite good. And others would notice that, because back then MySpace was new. All of this was new. There was only MSN before that.
Yeah.
Big up MSN. That was a big platform.
Big up
back
MSN.
Then.
I'm going to be honest. I missed the MySpace era. I kind of went straight to Bebo, but go on. But
I'll swear. Yeah, okay, yeah. So MySpace came, blew up quickly. And then because I'm one of the best looking pages in terms of a designer, in all honesty, I feel like there was one designer that trumped everyone. And that was someone called Hardy Designs. And they was sick. Yeah. I don't know who it was, but they were, I don't know where they are now, but they were sick. Mm. But I put myself just underneath that. And I got work for Chip. I got work for Gigs. I got work for Roll Deep, Essentials. You know, Essential South, Remedy, Gender, and a few others. You know, Sugar. Dirty Goods.
Yeah, Dirty Goods as well. These are big. These aren't little fish.
I was buying DVDs from Central and Dark and Cold, Risky Roads, Practice Hours.
Yeah.
All of these, Load of the Mic. It's them, man. So me designing for them and them contacting me, and so I felt pride in my work again. I was like, I've just done this on the side. I've still gone sixth form, done business, and in the end, I passed and whatnot, went on to uni. But at the same time, I built a little name for myself designing.
Mm. Did people recognize you? Did you ever meet them later on down in life and say, like, yo, man, designed for you, like, back in the day? Was it any of that? Or was it kind of just a
imagine low-key? Actually, Posty.
not allow it.
I've just remembered that Posty, when he used to be a rapper, he had a mixtape called Royal Mail. Obviously, Posty, Royal Mail.
Royal Mail, yeah.
I designed that mixtape cover, but I haven't met Posty. It was all online, and you know, bro, I was very different back then too. I had no beard. So no one would recognize me from then to now. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm gonna be honest. So,
and even then, it wasn't like I was facing it up. Yes, I had my picture and display people, but it wasn't like I was facing up. It was all online. It was not in person. It was just easier to do like that, manageable.
Mm.
So it's not like a lot of people knew me by face. Chip came to my school. He was a few years younger. His brother was in my creative studies class, CS class, and in other classes too. So yes, you can recognize me from that. But in terms of the design community, Nah. Because I dropped it out as well when I went uni. So it came to a bit where I was 19 now. Mm. I passed sixth form business studies, double award. And I thought to myself, where do I go from here?
Yeah. Well, you know what? So did you work between schooling when you finished school to deciding to go to uni, or did you?
Bro, I worked. Bro, from 14 years of age.
Oh, you're working?
I was going out with my uncle to... Was it Spitalfields Market, fruit and veg?
Yeah, I know Spitalfields.
3 a.m, we had to be there for free, load up fruit and veg, and by 11 a.m, midday, you'd have to have delivered to maybe 30 different points across London, and in order. Maybe northwest one moment, southwest, then it might be northwest again. It's not like you can wait around and do, it was all structured, and I was up from early.
So it wasn't an easy come up, but people might, no one's going to think
about it. My family wouldn't allow that, and I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Because it, you know, it teaches you in the reality of life.
Mm.
The reality can be that you're going to have to work at, you know, from madness young. Hours in the morning.
That's mad, bro.
You know, so I was doing that from early. I remember I worked in the chemist that my mum worked at, just as a, you know, customer service. Yeah, I'd done that from early too. So I'd done little bits and bobs early. But there was no in between.
With sixth form,
I done 3 years because I failed my first year, passed the next two, and then I went straight into uni. There was no dilly-dallying. At that point, I even made the decision to go uni, or I made the decision to stay in the local area, or back then in the ends, and see what I can, you know, because that was at the time, it was a very valid decision to make.
Yeah, it's a hard, it's now most people go through.
Yeah, now it's laughable because it's like, come on, ends or uni, it doesn't... But in the at that time, it's a difficult decision to leave. And I remember the day that we was applying for uni was the last day, you know, UCAS,
putting
the codes in.
Yeah, yeah.
I woke up late for sixth form. So my brethren called me saying, yo, it needs to be done. I said, bro, just tell me the 5 codes you're putting in. I'll put the same 5 codes in. We got into the course at Kingston. We both went.
Kingston, innit? Yeah.
And from there, uni started and design got dropped out, mainly because as artists got signed, I'd lose that client.
Right.
In a sense. So there was no long... Not that I was doing it for a lot of money back then. Mm. I was doing it for exposure. I was doing it because I liked it. And I was doing it because there was pride in...
Yeah, of course. Being on the roads and being like, yeah, that was... this is
people, I did like, that. Using my thing.
Yeah.
But in the end, they I'd lose clients to labels or whoever because they'd keep it in-house. Mm. Understandable. Cool.
That makes sense.
So I thought to myself, business. And at the end of the day, my family, Turkish, mainly, it's very much... Many cultures are like this, especially, you know... First couple phases of immigrants into the UK. Yeah,
didn't ever get.
It's like doctor, lawyer, or business, something like that.
Mm.
It's not, you know, they're not saying a particular, like, what kind of doctor, what kind of lawyer, what true. Kind of business.
It's true.
Like, the culture is doctor, lawyer, business. And you've made it, and I can tell
the rest
to
of
my
the
sisters
and
cousins
around the
and
area,
all
yeah.
that, or
and neighbors.
And,
yeah.
And I'm proud, chest up. I mean, I get that. And I went uni, done business, maybe not because I wanted to, but because I thought it's the best option. I thought to myself back then, doing courses like business or maths or them kind of ones was seen as the one that's going to give you the biggest opportunity off the back end.
Facts.
But during uni, that all changed.
What do you mean?
Because off the back end of it, during uni, I realized I should have just done something creative.
Yeah, because you had that creative. The
era
in you.
Changed.
Yeah. Oh, nowadays, yeah. Now it's very much.
Yeah, the era
know.
Changed. I went uni 07 to 2011.
Yeah.
The era changed then. It went from... think people thinking business and this is the safe option to a recession, lower pay, to YouTube coming out, to artists, you know, that's where the UK rap scene started going,
kicking off,
gigs and
mad. Yeah, and Grime as well started kicking off as well.
Grime Daily, all of them, UK Overstood, all these kind of things came out and people were making money on their own creative models. And that was making me think, well, I've come into business now and I'm a very determined person. If I'm starting something, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to finish this. I'm not going to divert. I already failed a year in sixth form. I'm a year behind if I look at it like that.
Mm.
I'm going to bang it out and go for it. But essentially, I probably made the wrong decision there, because even coming out of uni, when I'm searching for jobs, I'll go to a job for marketing. I done business management. So mm-hmm. I got an honours degree in business management. If I'd go to a marketing role, they'd want someone with business and marketing. If I go to a finance role, they'd want someone with business finance.
Finance, yeah.
So I done too broad a degree. But in the end, I got onto a graduate scheme.
Yeah.
And between that was 3-4 years between when I graduated and finally saw sense in doing a degree. So in between those 3-4 years,
yeah.
I done Next Stockroom. I done Ladbrokes, store manager.
Bro.
I done TFL, yeah. customer service. I've done
jobs. So it's all through that time, from like 14, just kept work. You had work all between.
Yeah. Like the fruit and veg thing was like a couple of years, then it'll yep. stop. And then when I went uni, I didn't do much. Like, again, other avenues. Like, mm. I knew how to, you know, think outside the box.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, in school, it was CDs. That one time yeah. in bus passes as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, oh, the
bus. The little scissors number over the thing, come. Yeah, you need to show the person thumb over
you're
it.
You're a hustler, you know. But yeah, that's yeah, like, yeah. you have to be.
At the end of the day, yeah, because I wasn't getting pocket money. I wasn't getting these things, you know. Right, so in yeah. the end of the day, you have to do things to
make it work,
to
really,
get
innit?
By, to maybe, I don't know, be a bit more happy, you know.
Mm.
But it is what it is. In the end, I probably went and wasted it all on money up the wall anyway. So.
On a brand new tracksuit, isn't yeah. it? Back in the day, we'll get to that as well. Look, just, I want to ask you as well, you said that, you're talking about your friend, you rang him up, you woke up late and you said, listen, whatever you put in, I'll put in. So were these friends, were they there from secondary school, when you went to sixth form, or where's your friend group come from? Because I've met your friends.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
fucking, they're legends, bro. They are a full vibe. And yeah, they're G's, man. And yeah, when did that kind of all come together? Was that early on? Did you meet them in uni? Did you meet them before uni?
Nah, school mainly.
Yes.
I've got a select few from secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that select few, a couple crossed over to uni.
Mm-hmm.
And in uni, I've got a select few as well. And it's been, 12 years now since I graduated, yeah. 11 years. So even the uni bunch were close.
Yeah, obviously.
The secondary school bunch were not closer, but I've known them longer.
Yeah.
But that's my circle. My circle's small. Others might say it's big, but I'd say it's small. Mm. And at the same time, it's like family to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that family that others might have, especially my friends growing up, a lot of brothers, sisters, a lot of cousins. Yeah. I don't have that. I had a little sister 9 years younger than me.
Mm.
My cousins, they're not, I don't fuck with them, basically.
Cool.
For no better terms. I don't fuck with them. And I didn't have that. So my friends or my family are my family.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I agree with that. People might say you have a big circle, but I don't see that. Every time I see your friends, it seems like the same people. Sometimes there might be a new one here and there, but I don't think it's a big friend group. And I think the people you've got around you are, they care about you. And like, you can tell your family. Yeah. Like, you can see it, bro.
They keep me down as well, in a sense where not that I need keeping down, but they're always real with me.
Mm.
If they think I've done something to fuck up, or they think I shouldn't have done something, or
they'll tell you.
And not only on YouTube, I mean before that and so on, we're like that with each other.
Mm.
You know, we're very real with each other. Mm. I'm a very blunt person.
Yeah, that's very true. Let's. I'm just going to give you a clap there. Turkish is very blunt, everyone listening and watching. That is a fact, but it's all out of love.
Remember the first couple of days I was here? I said to you and James, no, it wasn't you. I said to someone around you and James, look, I'm very blunt.
Yep.
And to a lot of people that come across as rude. Now, trust me, I'm not rude.
Yeah, it's true.
Unless I need to be, I'm not rude.
There's a difference.
Like, understand the difference between bluntness and rudeness. But a lot of people don't to this day. A lot of people, you know, want to hear what they want to hear.
Right.
Not what they should be.
And you don't feed people that, which I heavily respect as well, because there's times where, I'm looking for advice. I'll come to you because I know you won't sugarcoat around shit. You'll be like, nah, bro, do this. And
I might not be right, but I'm going to give it to you how I feel, like as really as I can get for me.
You know,
it might not be right all the time, but that's just my view on it.
Fair. Before we move off education quickly, obviously you graduated. Has anyone else graduated in your family? Did your little sister go to you?
My sister graduated last year, yeah.
Okay, but you were you the first?
First, yeah. You know how big that is in some cultures, this is why Turkish included.
I wanted to highlight that because I feel like we can brush over things. And in a time where you didn't have to go to uni, bro. I know you're talking about the time where people become creators and people were blowing, really, getting signed and stuff. You could have dropped out.
Yeah.
But you stuck to it, graduated.
Remember I told you that there was a gap between graduation and my graduate scheme?
Yeah.
Which was Royal Mail.
Yeah.
In that gap, if you asked me about uni, I'd say forget it. I'd say don't bother, because I was doing customer service at TfL Next, lad. I was doing jobs that you could do without wasting essentially 3-4 years of your life spending money on it. So I wasn't in the right place mentally. Obviously, when I got the graduate scheme, I wouldn't have been able to get that if I didn't have a degree. Facts. So it saved my thinking of what that degree was and is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But essentially, the main thing for me from that degree is the happiness it gave my mum and dad.
Sick.
More so my mum, obviously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, closer to mum.
Of course.
That's the best thing it done. And if you ask me, would I do that 4 years again just for that? I would. Because you have to, because in your life, you also have to not only give back financially or give back, like,
yeah, because they sacrifice coming over to this country and that. And yeah, they, for them, it's bigger. It's probably bigger. It might be bigger for them than it was for you as well, graduating.
Of course,
yeah.
Because I come out to, the recession was over and the England wasn't a great place. London wasn't a great place to get a job.
Yeah.
I come out of uni and I went next stockroom, 4 a.m.
Fucking,
do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, mad.
And in those moments, I'm thinking, like, did I go uni for this? I was on TfL on the buses, on the trains, thinking, did I go uni? People looking down on you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I worked in Green Park. I worked in Oxford Circus. I worked in Piccadilly Circus, all them. So you'd get a lot of suit, man, and all that. Yeah. And a lot of them, without saying not much, were just, you know, you could tell they look down on you. They don't respect you. They don't rate you. And I'm there thinking, if I got a degree, I probably got higher than you as well. But here I am.
Here
I am. But it's the harsh realities that make you who you are.
Exactly, in life. It's character building. Yeah. And it's worked. Look where you are now. We obviously, again, we're gonna hit there at some point. But it's work, Turkish, and people got to go through. People have different journeys,
yeah,
bro. And you clearly are on the right path from what you've told us today, and where we're going to head towards now. And I'm going to move on to, you just said did your graduate scheme, and then I believe you just touched on Royal Mail there, which was really before this your last job. I know this is your job now, but that was your last job. So, but I want to, before we get to Royal Mail, when did you start your own channel and kind of feeling and getting involved with AFTV? Was it around the same time, or was your channel later on?
No, later on, because it's not like my goal was to come on AFTV and then blow, or come on AFTV then create a channel. I came on AFTV initially because I was fed up of what I was seeing from Arsenal Football Club, and I didn't, at times I thought my voice was being represented between a mix of Lee Judges, DT and Troops.
Yep.
But at other times, and Claude actually, rest in peace, Claude. Because a lot of what he was saying, you know,
it's
facts.
Truth, yeah.
But in the end, I remember the first time I went on was 5-1 Munich. So you could imagine, we went to Munich, and I don't know Robbie, I don't know Truth, I don't know, I go with my people.
Yeah.
Munich was just me and one friend. It was just a day trip, fly in the morning, fly back at night. So literally after the game, you go airport, all of that. So that's when we kind of, you know, slowly started talking. Actually, bear in mind, me and Troops have mutual friends.
Right.
So when he saw me on the plane, it was like, yo. And then from there, we talked. And then on the way back, he's like, go and do an interview. And Robbie's like, yeah, when we land, you can do an interview.
But on the way back?
Yeah. So my first interview, February 2017, was in Luton Airport, outside the airport. I even thought I was going to get locked off. I didn't know you could do that, but it was at the front of Luton Airport. Maybe not anymore now.
Yeah, probably definitely not now.
But that was 2017. Actually, not that long ago.
But still.
Either. 4 years. So I was just angry. 5-1 Munich. We've just landed in Luton. It's like 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Yeah. And I'm just like, why not? Why not? And then from there, slowly but surely, the next one was, I think, 3-1 against Liverpool. He left out Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
Vex.
Yeah.
Next one, 5-1 Munich. Vex. I think Chelsea was there 2-0 in between Vex. So it was like when I came in, it was like at a period where it was just building.
Yeah.
The anger, frustration, all that was building. I wore the Wenger out.
I was going to say, this is the time when it was kind of.
Now, I had that Wenger out top for a good while before that. And I used to wear it a lot, but I had the jacket on all the time. So
yeah,
it's not like I made that top and bought it there specifically to blow, in a sense.
Even though
it got a lot of traction, a lot of attention and whatnot, that wasn't the specific, you know, meaning behind it. It's just that day I had enough. I turned the T-shirt around for once and bang, that's, you know, a picture of me that people still even go back to. But that night, Troops tagged me in the picture. Me and Troops took a picture. He tagged me in the picture. Bear in mind, my profile's private at this time. Follow request. Bro, I went into the picture, untagged myself. Because I didn't want this. It's not like I'm a very...
No, you're not that guy.
I'm a private person.
Facts.
You see it? I'm a private person and I like that. This is even probably the most open conversation I've had on the internet.
Yeah, especially with the dad stuff and all of that.
Even with you, bro. The most open conversation. But I like the private side. I like keeping that there, and I like keeping this there. That's just how I like it.
So you untagged. Yourself from it. Is that because you just that's just not your character. You don't want.
Was it nerves? Not really nerves, but it's like, am I ready for this? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Like, I didn't know what was going on. Just bare people following me. So the next day, I untagged myself straight away. So the next day, I thought, let me just delete some pictures, close ones, family ones, things that I don't want people to see.
Yeah.
And just, let me just see, what happens from here. And slowly, but surely, here we are a few years later. The channel didn't start until, I started a channel, but I didn't put content on it. The first video I made was actually when Wenger left. Right. Random. If you see that video, it's like literally in my kitchen at the time. I just randomly... I woke up, couldn't believe it, done a video. It was just mad. It was, the lighting wasn't there. The video was crooked. I was tired.
You're
such a
perfectionist, Turkish. You like the graphics.
Bro,
and
this
all
time,
that
I thought,
on.
Nah, this is mad news. I couldn't believe what's going on. So I done a video, and I didn't do a video for time.
Yeah.
So in reality, I've probably been taking my channel serious for 2 years, but on and off. There's been periods in there, like lockdown, when I should have been doing a lot of content. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was just, enjoying, I guess, the family time, other things happen. We'll probably delve into that over that time and whatnot.
Mad. Okay. So then you carried on going on the channel on AFTV. The reasons for that of kind of doing your fan cams after, do you just feel like you had to continue to vent? Obviously, the Kroenke stuff is still a big part of you. A lot of people associate you to that. Was that before Wenger left, or was it more after, really, wasn't it, when he left and you still realized that he is?
When I first went on AFTV, I wasn't going on every time. I was just here and there. Because it's a madness outside. It's more madness now, but even then was a madness. So I'm not one to get into crowds. I don't like people hustling and bustling. I like my space. I don't like all of that.
That's very true.
Like hands over necks and just too much. I just thought, I'll wait till the end, or maybe I'll do it another time.
Yeah, you did that the other day. But you did it the other day. There was a big crowd. You said I had to wait for it just to calm down. Because it gets mad. Go on.
Where was we?
We were just talking about going back to doing fan camps. You said every now and then.
So every now and then I was doing it.
Did you feel the effects of doing them as well? Like, were people coming up to you then?
Yeah, that was mad to me. It's mad to me till today. Yeah, like, people come,
crazy, bro.
Can I take a picture with you? Like, I get you have to ask, but at the same time, it's like, I'm just a fan. Like, I tell them as well, I'm just a fan. I've just got more followers than you. That's it.
Yeah.
Or more subscribers or viewers or whatever it is, whatever. That's all it is. That's the only difference. I'm not an influencer. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not anything. I'm an Arsenal fan. And people happen to enjoy listening to my opinion, maybe in agreement. And here I am. I'm just an Arsenal fan with
like
a following.
All of us. Yeah, same like all of us. I still find it odd as well. I used to ask why. When they say, do you want a foot? I'm like, why, bro? It doesn't make sense. But
and signing things as well. I'm just, are you sure?
That one.
That's crazy to me.
That one's not. Yeah,
love for the love, though.
Yeah, love,
like, listen, love for the love. I have to say love for the love because it's mad. I have to appreciate those guys and girls out there because they've helped me get to where I am now, in a sense, where now I'm in a role that hasn't come from education and what I thought I should be doing, business.
Right.
But it's come from something I've always loved, Arsenal.
You're also a father. I want to kind of talk about, I think the timelines are kind of close from
happened all
at once. So listen, how did it all come about? Because I remember joining the AFTV. Actually, let's talk about when we first met.
Me and you went to go Dubai. Link up out there.
Yeah. So for anyone that's listening and watching, we have a mutual in Dubai. Yeah. He's a DJ, big him up, DJ Mookie. He's out there and I want to go out there. And he was like, oh, you're coming out with the AFTV lot?
And it was my birthday, March 18th.
Right. And he was like, you're coming with the AFTV lot? I said, no, why? And he was like, oh, Turkish is coming out. So that's when I hollered you, hit you up.
Yeah.
And then boom, you're like, yeah, we'll link up. I was gassed. I was
it
like,
never
what?
Happened.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still vexed about it. Imagine COVID. That was the week Dubai locked down. March 16th, Monday.
Yeah.
My birthday is March 18th. It's like, bro, one more week.
Yeah, I was out that same week, bro. It would have been a madness. It would have been so good. And even you, see, I was a fan back then because even when you replied to me, I was like, raw, Turkish Mayo TV. No, that's what, it's a shame we didn't get to meet then. But here we are.
In the end, yeah. That like way. You said, I'd have been a friend now. That's I see it as well. Like, I agree with
you. You're my guy. Yeah, that's what I want to make that clear as well because obviously, you remember when we went to Stars League and people were like, I was with you. And they were like, who's that?
Yeah,
like, yeah. You didn't know whether to be like, it's my work colleague.
This is Cecil, bro.
They were boys, isn't it? Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
That's like you came and banged goals in the last episode.
Come on, you're asking
who's that. Let me show them who this is.
Right. So now it just, I think everyone here as well, it is more of a friendship. It's not, yes, we work together, but off camera as well, we're tight, man. It's not about that. We're very close. So joining off AFTV Turkish, the time, what kind of happened between you obviously being at Royal Mail and leaving there to come and join AFTV? Because I remember when I joined and you said, yeah, there was plans of me joining months ago, but it didn't happen. So you were supposed to start before me and James. So yeah.
Everything happens for a reason.
Right.
That's how I see it. And like some of the stories I've talked about, you just got to take the positives from it.
Yeah.
And towards the end of last year, my role at Royal Mail was becoming not untenable, but tight in a sense where every company was facing cuts, COVID, lockdown, everything was happening. And you had to reapply for roles and whatnot. Mm. Or you could take voluntary redundancy.
What was your role as well? Because when people say Royal Mail, I didn't know what you were doing in Royal. I thought you were obviously nothing to it, but obviously giving out the mail, but you didn't do that.
Long story short, I started Royal Mail Graduate Scheme Operations, done a year and a half there. And then they came to me and said, you know, you're doing great, but we also see you as a potential project manager, a change manager originally. Mm. So then I moved from operations to change management, trying to change the culture of Royal Mail. There's a lot of older staff there, a lot of older contracts and old contracts in this new age. It's a hard balance when you're in competition with Amazon, Hermes, etc.
Yeah.
So I went into change management and then project management, and that was the how long was I there for? 5 years, five and a half years.
Quite a long time, part of your stint.
My time there. In the end, it came to a bit of a choice to make. So that happened, I think, November last year, 2020. At this time, little one was on the way, due in January.
Wow.
So it was kind of two things were colliding. Obviously, yeah,
it's a big risk.
It's a big risk, but at the same time, when January came. Or was it December? When December came, I was talking to someone within AFTV, close with Robbie and the team and whatnot. And then the opportunity kind of started arising of its own accord.
Mm.
And due to my, not situation, but my choice to make in my old role,
yeah,
I thought, let me delve into a bit more and see what could potentially happen here.
Right.
Bear in mind, at this time, I'm nervous as well, because all my life I've done what I think is the not safe option, but I believe you should always have a safe option.
I agree
with
that.
Safe option to me is like PAYE and all of this stuff, because I don't know any better. In my generation growing up, that's what, you know, you're not taught about freelancing. You're not taught about doing your own taxes. You're not taught about mortgages, councils, all of this stuff.
That's the opposite to me. So I grew up in the creative world. I was self-employed before here and didn't really have a role, a PAYE role. I didn't believe in it. I was kind of like, go and work for yourself. You're right. I think you had, not that you went the safe route, but you did the education, you graduated, you found a job, you did a graduate scheme. And that's why I say it's a big risk in a sense that this is also a full-time role, but it's YouTube and everyone's always like, you know, do you really, you know, is it really a job?
One day YouTube might not be working, no more servers down across the world, and you know, us to get a call.
See you later, guys.
that's the world we live in, but at the same time, friends and family would even say, you know, stay with Royal Mail.
Yeah.
It's safer. But then I'll turn around to them and say, if it's so safe, look what COVID's done to these companies to force them into a situation where they're either offering that or offering new terms.
Right.
Whereas the YouTube industry other different industries have even grown during that time.
Yeah.
So
what's safe?
Exactly. So I'm starting to now reconsider what's safe.
Yeah.
And what's sustainable and what's, you know, the right direction to go in.
Mm.
So I thought to myself, what better time to take that risk? I was comfortable in what I had already. Obviously, I had my little one in January and I made the decision to take that risk. It is a risk and I've taken the risk.
Yeah, and it's just paid off. Do you understand how much talent you have in presenting? Did you ever understand? Did you ever think, no one trained us, no one trained you. Like, I don't think anyone trained you, but you've got, for me, arguably the best football show on YouTube with the Big Six. You're very comfortable in that show. The way you present, you hold it, you host it. Even shows here, I'm like, right, man just came in and just It's just chill. Like, did you ever realize or know that you had that? Or
no, you know what it is. Like, love for that with the big six, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what it is. To this day, I don't see myself like when people say you're a good presenter and whatnot. I say that I know how to ask good questions. Mm. And I know how to keep a conversation flowing because I think about what you're talking about, and then I know a question to come off it. Especially when it comes to Arsenal, I love them. So, when I'm talking about it's them, natural. I can take it any which way. Mm. You know, but in general, I just done what I've always done.
Mm.
When we talked about the CDs and the bus passes and so on and whatnot, it's just another one of those, you know. People were asking for me to start a channel. I didn't really know what to do with it, but yeah. I went in with it. And what brought me into this presenter role was the Big Six show. It was originally the Top Six. Right. And I done it with friends. And I was renting a studio every month, and I was spending quite a lot of money. And I didn't have nothing on the back end of it.
Mm.
But in the end, I believed in it. It didn't work out, and originally with my friends, took a bit of time out, rebrand, Arsenal dropped out the Top Six. Can't be the Top Six show no more. So Big Six, big because six. We still make, you know, money.
For now.
So,
for now.
Yeah, for now six, it's for the now. Big six show, people. And then, but actually 2-3 episodes into Top Six, I get a call from Robbie. And Robbie's like, yo, Turkish, you good and all of that. And he's like, I just seen Top Six. Like, we need something like that for AFTV. We need to talk. Bear in mind, the year before, I said to Robbie, like, if you want me to do anything more, like, I can.
Yeah.
But Robbie's a busy man. He's a busy guy. You know, this moved in a very, AFTV moved in such a quick way that I can understand. I'm not a man. There's a lot of people out there that would have taken that. And a lot of people do. They'd be like, oh, he's airing me. Like, what's wrong with my man?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with my man? Like, yeah. Why he ain't giving me my flowers, or, you know, he ain't showing man respect. Mm. Me, I just think that my man's busy, and who am I to him? And likewise, who are you to me until we do, you know?
That's a good point, because that is very true. That happens a lot. Even since I've been here not too long, but that is very true. People don't really understand. He's a busy guy. Like, shouldn't take it personally.
Things I didn't. Yeah. And then look, a year later, lo and behold, cool.
You're here.
Come in, Rob, supporters club. That's the title idea. Talk to Arsenal fans week in, week out. How do you feel about that? Come, supporters club launches. Nice show, gets good feedback. It's still present till today. Currently going through a rebrand. It will be back soon, but... From there, it kicked on. And I think Supporters Club and the Big Six, it created something for me that I didn't think I was creating.
Oh, bro,
I thought I was creating content, but I was actually creating myself as a presenter.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that. And then Big Six gets a lot of credit. And I see a lot of the time, the demographic, the culture. Mm. When you look at it, it's me, Turkish. It's Big Steve, English.
Yeah, English, yeah.
Saeed, Somalian.
Mm.
Matisse, mixed race.
Yeah.
Tobes, Nigerian.
Yeah.
Grizz, Pakistan.
Yeah, it's diverse. It's got, they know about their clubs. They're very informed about their clubs. They
and
love
the age
it.
Is different. Matisse, young, early 20s, a few of us in our 30s, a couple closer to 40.
And Turkish, there's structure to it. There's so much to it. There's skullfuggeries involved as well. He does edits. There's so many elements to that show that you may not be aware of, but it makes it completely different to other shows. And it bangs.
Yeah, done it and it banged. Like, that's it. That's all we do every week. Twice a week, we go live and we just do it. There's no planning behind it. The only planning is the results, and we watch football anyway, so we know what's going on there, and we go for it. And it does get heated sometimes. We have respect for each other, and I think that's a massive thing in a lot of, you know, or this YouTube industry. People are after fakeness and reactions.
There's a lot of snaking. Yeah, there's a lot of
bullshit and all that. It's a very fake industry at the same time. But what the Big Six brings is real, and I like that. And I'm going to continue to do that because I don't know any different to real. It's not like I'm an actor or I've done drama school and all that. I don't know any different.
Chill. Run the drama. Hey, chill out. It's blessed. But, you know, you're right. It's very real. And that's what makes it so good. And that's what makes you as well. And I think that's what people buy into from you at AFTV is you talk how it is. Even though sometimes we're out on the road and we're together like, Turkish, just say what you feel. If you watch Turkish and you know Turkish, he says everything he feels.
I'm just tired at times, isn't it? How many times can you say how you feel before you get tired? Sometimes I'm tired, isn't it? What can I do?
You're only human. All right, listen, we're coming to the end of this Inside AFTV episode. Before we go, I want to start doing this now with every guest. Is there anything you want to say? Just anything that you feel like you wanted to speak on, but I may not have asked you, or anything you... it can be anything you have coming up, or just anything you feel that you want the people to know.
It's a good question, you know.
Yeah, take time on it. You don't have to rush it too.
Coming with these big questions,
man, we're trying to grow. We're trying to grow. Like, yeah.
If I'm gonna say anything, I don't know. I like you know what, I like messages that I get when people say, you know, you touch me with this or you help me through this and stuff like that. Those messages mean, you know, the most to me, because it's like, right, talking about football, I'm doing what, you know, is what's normal to me. Talking to other, you know, people from other cultures, races, all of that. That's normal. That's my life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not here for YouTube. That's my life. You know, my circle is multicultural and so on.
Facts.
So in all honesty, what, with the world we live in and whatnot, a lot of, I found over life, chasing happiness is the best thing to do. You see what I'm saying? It's not about money. It's not about material things. Even comes to a house or a car. It's about happiness.
Yeah.
Being happy within your limits.
And within yourself as well.
Social media can bring a lot of attention to things that's outside of our remit, your remit, and make us think, oh, I wish. But in reality, do you wish? You know, look around you and try and appreciate what you have and just, yeah, be happy. That's my word. It's a mad one, car. On AFTV, you said this guy's negative and this and that. I'm glad I could end with that.
They're going to clip this to when you're losing it in the next game. But Turkish, listen, I've got to say thank you. This is the first time I've asked a guest if there's anything you want to say before we kind of close. And that's perfect, bro. Like, I live by that mantra as well of just choose happiness first, man. Like, that's what you got to do in life. And I think it's the best way to live. So thank you for joining me.
No worries, my guy. Thank enjoyed that, up. Man.
Yeah, man, that was nice. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Inside AFTV. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Love.